now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
I received a message from the good Lord last night. And that message is simple. I am to impregnate every woman in America. And how I do that is up to me, I suppose. And I have chosen to go alphabetically. I've sent the Secret Service to round up every woman of childbearing age in America, put them in a big line, and one after the other, I'm going to plant my seed. The first woman on my list, Angela A. Angelino. So, come on over, Angela. If you can hear the sound of my voice, you get yourself a plane ticket or what have you, the government's going to reimburse you fully. And you just tell them what you're here for, and they'll let you in. And we will have sexual relations, you and me. Now, I don't feel it's appropriate to get into the details, but here's how I like it. I like a woman to wear a Sunday best, I'm wearing a diaper, and I call her Mama. It's God's holy plan. There's nothing we can do but follow. And a little while later, you're going to be the lucky bearer of one George W. Bush heir. Now, once every child in America is born of George W. Bush, there's no way we can lose the war on terror. Because everybody's going to be a warrior. Everybody's going to have the fighting spirit of George W. Bush blood in them. See? This way, the Bush legacy will continue in America. Government's going to have a continual supply of George Bush offspring as leaders for foreseeable future. Frankly, my daughters aren't going to cut it. They're not very bright. I'll be honest with you. You got to be smart to be president. And my daughters, they're not winning any genius prize, let's speak candidly. Now, wait a minute. I just realized something. If my current offspring aren't very bright, who's to say further offspring won't be the same way? Why does God want me to impregnate every American woman if I'm just going to create a big army of dopes? Well, God works in mysterious ways. And all you women, once I impregnate you, you get those Bush children to a good Christian school. That'll take care of everything. Well, God bless you, and I look forward to having sex with you.
It's 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We appreciate your radio presence. Here's what threw me off just now. You'd think I would not be fooled by these anymore, but of course, there's an email here from somebody named Sam. Thank you, Sam. The subject line of this says, Britney Spears video. And then the body just says, well, not really, but since you're an animal lover, this might entertain you. Listen, Sam, it's the sound of your email being deleted, unwatched. Thanks for that. I'm no longer opening anything that references animals, that references any part of God's creatures, that mentions the Enum Claw in any way. Contains the word pinion or thrust. It's not going to happen.
Thanks.
Thank you for playing. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12. If you'd like to be part of today's program for whatever godforsaken reason, it is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today, perhaps engage with us electronically with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your what have you, you can do that as well, my chums. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It's 503-733-2970 on the phones or... All that is... forget it. I'm going to play through this pain, this computer pain here. If you go to rickemerson.com, you look at the some of the logos that have been created.
That's mean.
Wait, which one? I don't even know which one you're talking about.
The one on the top.
Hold on.
Let me look. I don't remember which one the one on the top is. Give me a second. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
how great is that? With the millipede or the centipede or whatever the hell that thing was
in
your bathtub?
That was in my bathtub.
It's great. But how great is that? It is towering
amazing.
Over Portland. See, I got to tell you, now I'm not trying to tip which way we're going to go here. I'm trying to indicate which one we're going to... The one that was just a straight-out knockoff of American History X is actually pretty great. That one looks fantastic. I got to say, though, there's some of these others. Like some of the ones that came in yesterday are really good. There's something really wrong with this audience in that they have all of this art. And I'm assuming that most of these people are not graphic artists for a living. I'm assuming most of these people just, you know, they all work at like a bagel store or something. They got lots of time and lots of talent. Lots of nothing else to do with their lives, apparently. So they create these logos. That one, I'm actually, here's the thing, and we'll have to make this decision at some point this week, because it's actually just 2 weeks from tomorrow, which doesn't even seem possible.
Oh, my God.
2 weeks, don't panic. 2 weeks from tomorrow. Breathe in through your nose. 2 weeks from tomorrow, Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, which is still logo-less. But I do have to say, if I had to choose right now, I don't know that I could. We might actually go with two logos right now.
I know which two. I'd pick the same two.
Really? Are you thinking of the same two that I'm thinking?
Yeah.
All right. If I had to right now, I would do something. I would have like a one of them be the logo for the posters and the banners.
One of them be the shirt.
And one of them be the shirt, or one of them be like for a laminate. Like if we do laminates,
Brilliant. Have
one of these. Like that one right here, with the that could be the laminate.
Absolutely.
And then the other one could be the actual
banner.
I
think we should just go with that.
I don't know. Well, it's only, what is today, Wednesday?
Well, because the laminate doesn't necessarily mean the winner.
I suppose. We'll give it through the end of the week, probably. I'm not trying to discourage other people who are going to submit things. I'm just saying
please,
that
all these other ones just came yesterday.
The four that I put up are just, and that's just sort of a smattering. And there's a couple others that I haven't put up yet. But they're fantastic. So I know that we're talking about stuff that you can't see right now if you're listening, but I encourage you to go to rickemerson.com at your earliest opportunity and check out the latest batch of logos images. And these are not, again, I don't know what these people do for a living. It could just be some guy sitting around in his boxer shorts. These are listener-created logos. They're fantastic. So anyway, so if we end up using your logo for the official Listener Party imagery, you will win it's a big pile of stuff. It's probably just stuff that we've lifted from whatever that format used to be on 107.5 before it was moving. It's probably just a bunch of crap left over from that, to be honest. I don't really know. Anyway, so send your logo submissions to rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on today, we got to move through this a little more quickly than usual because we're actually going to be talking to somebody from CNN. Because there was that shooting that happened where I guess it was some guy went in. I guess we'll find out. All the teasers. Some guy went in.
Do you know who our special guest reporter is who's going to talk to us about that?
Is it somebody that I love deeply with everybody in me?
Everything in me?
Transposing words again today. Is it, don't tell me.
Okay.
So here's what's coming up today. We got to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop from Los Angeles. He's going to talk to us about, well, first of all, there's that Democratic primary, that poll that happened out there. And then they've got Roop covering American Idol, which I know he's really happy about. I know he's going to be doing cartwheels. And all of the American Idol coverage now is about that Sanjay Gupta guy, or whoever it is, Sangria, or whatever, the guy who sings badly. So Jim Roop's talking about that. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard about Nancy Pelosi, who's really worming her way into my heart, if for no other reason than the White House clearly hates her with just this super hot intensity of a thing. All right, how's everybody doing today?
Wow.
That really was just a staggering belly flop right there. That was absolutely just a linguistic stumble and fall headfirst into the sand in the long jump pit. All right. Well, in any event. So we'll talk to Jim Roop. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. Portland, Oregon gives you a new place to whiz. We'll have details on that. There's a Geek Watch coming up today. Really, what must be considered, and this has nothing to do with the picture that Davey Nipple sent you. This is entirely separate. Really, what must be considered by any rational yardstick, perhaps being an inopportune term, the worst penis watch ever. I mean, a penis watch that will crush. I don't care if you've never had a penis in your life. This will cause legs to cross all across the fruited plain. So we'll get to that later on. What else? Hey, I'm drowning in sewage. We'll also get It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. That's coming up today as well. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll have more information on Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. At Barracuda. So more information on that coming up as well. All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Hello, and how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. I got, like, so much sleep last night. It's ridiculous.
Now, you finally moved out of your place?
No.
All right.
I still have the few scraggly things that I've left behind, like the, you know, I didn't go back yesterday.
Do you just not go back because you don't care, or because you don't want to see him anymore?
I just don't want to clean. And they don't bother me so much.
It's now,
just...
do you have to clean the room?
Yeah.
Like the room that you were living in?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's so much crap everywhere. I have to get my security deposit back, so.
How much is your security? Is it hundreds, or is it a small amount?
Well, I was paying $400, and my security deposit was $300.
Ah, yeah. So, yeah, you don't want to turn that.
Exactly. All I have to do is clean the bathroom, my refrigerator, because I have my own refrigerator, and the bedroom.
No, that bedroom is the worst, because you had that, didn't you have, like, shag carpet or something in there?
Yeah, it was just some, like, ghetto blue carpet.
And
I don't understand why I have to clean the entire bathroom. Now, granted, I haven't cleaned it in the entire year I've lived there, but I don't understand why I have to clean it. You know what?
Him just winced. Him just visibly cringed at that scene.
The roommate I shared the bathroom with, a clean bathroom was important to him. Me, not so much. Why should I clean the bathroom? It doesn't matter if it's clean to me or not. That makes sense to me in my head.
Being in a relationship with you must just be a joy. So, anyway.
Okay. If I live with my buddies or anybody else, I'll always clean it, but I just really didn't care. I'm paying $400 a month.
I will say this. If you're able to do this, if you have to get a roommate at some point in your life, you feel like you're just financially or whatever, you're just not able to live by yourself, you really should seek out some sort of OCD group. Find somebody who is just incredibly obsessive compulsive, who has all sorts of weird tics. And if you find somebody who's a germaphobe, find that person and lock them down as your roommate, because you will never live in a more sparkling abode. That's something that's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm subplot right there. You know what I mean? Well, you get some friend who was obsessive compulsive or had some cleanliness disorder, and just keep him around just so he wouldn't have to clean the house anymore. That's a great idea. You all can steal that right now. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Iran frees the British hostages. Karl Rove is greeted by hecklers as he leaves a speaking engagement. A tech willow woman drowns during a swimming lesson. An Oregon lawmaker says a ban on junk food in schools will just lead to a schoolyard black market for snacks.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We've got calls coming in. We'll talk about last night's big non-event in my life. We'll get to that. And what else do we have? I've written a note to myself, but I have no idea what it means. Zingy? I don't even know what that means. Zingy. Well, whatever. Hey, Scotty, are we talking to Peter Carlin today? Do we know if it's today or is it tomorrow? Yes, we are. 2:00? Fantastic. All right. Oh, that's what this means. It's not zinc, it's shield.
Because they look so much alike.
Teachers meet to write in pictographs. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Real quickly here as we begin the show, we're going to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I see. We're going to welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Radio in Atlanta, Laura Caviezel from the CNN Center. Hi, Laura. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, we're dandy as always. Hey, so I just wanted to ask you real quickly about this shooting that happened yesterday, because there's been, you know, a lot of coverage in the other news about it. So this is not like a CNN-related shooting, was it?
No. Luckily, it wasn't. And believe me, a lot of our relatives started calling and asking us if we were okay.
Yes.
This was actually related to the Omni Hotel, which is attached to CNN Center. I don't know if you've seen the coverage on TV, but it's sort of like a triangular building where the tip, the tallest tip of the triangle connects with the Phillips Arena.
Right.
And then CNN encompasses both edges of that triangle, and then the bottom edge would be the Omni Hotel.
And so it was just an unfortunate happenstance. It wasn't somebody who was all cranked up at something Larry King had done 3 years ago.
No. And actually, my first reaction was, oh my God, this must be one pissed off fan for March Madness, you know? Because March Madness is right across the street at the Dome.
I've had it up to here with Lou Dobbs.
You know, I sort of expected one to be wearing, you know, Gator orange and blue, and the other one to be wearing, I don't know what the Ohio colors are.
Right.
My apologies. But, you know, and... But no, this is domestic disturbance, and unfortunately got extremely violent, and the woman died.
Now, you got in a Turner, you guys have your own security forces. There's like a CNN police team or something there that just sort of waits around to shoot people?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they wait around to shoot people, but they do carry guns. They are, for the most part, militarily trained. A lot of them are ex-military. This is something that they tell us as we come into work, when we go through orientation, when we first come to work at CNN.
And so the moral is don't screw with anybody at CNN, because you're going to have some guy with a Glock come up and you just have to settle things very quickly with you.
Exactly. Yeah, Turner Security is very good. They're very efficient. They're there when you need them. If you even need an escort to your car at the end of the night, if you feel unsafe walking through the dark parking lot, or, you know, it's pretty well lit, I think.
Whenever you have negotiations with somebody, or whenever there's some sort of a staff dispute, you should just hold all meetings in your office while flanked by a bunch of guys holding nightsticks and automatic weapons.
There you go.
I feel that might give you the psychological edge in such negotiations.
Just a tad.
Well,
I'm
glad that everybody there at CNN is safe, and unfortunately it did end sort of violently, but I'm glad it was kind of contained. So we wanted to kind of get the inside word from you guys. So.
Yeah, I'm amazed that this poor woman, I mean, I'm just amazed that somebody would go that far, you know, to be with somebody or to not let that person get away.
It's a bad scene. Well, again, we can only hope that he's being, you know, beaten senseless in a cell somewhere right now.
He's actually still at the hospital recovering from his surgery.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, that makes it harder for him to resist.
Right.
All right. Well, Laura Caviezo, well, we're glad everybody there at CNN is safe, and thanks for coming on with us today, Laura.
Thank you very much, Greg.
There you go. Laura Caviezo at CNN, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503-733-2970. Thanks for not warning me about that. I don't know who it's going to be. It's sort of a mixed bag at CNN.
Well, I didn't think jump on it. No.
I thought she was on sabbatical or whatever. I thought they'd moved her into a different part of the company where she didn't talk to people. I thought they'd...
she's doing something or other, but now she's back.
Moved her into a back office somewhere where she didn't have contact with the public anymore. You know who Laura Caviezo is? And God bless her. She helps us out with a lot of people. But she can be kind of a brusque, a very businesslike and sort of abrupt woman sometimes. You know what she is? Laura Caviezo is totally that guy from Office Space that I deal with the goddamn customers. I have people skills. That's totally her. You can sense it. She's not always that loud, but it's always there's always just a small boiling black cauldron of hate lurking at her very center. You can tell. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Before we do much else, let me just get this out of the way. I did not see Grindhouse last night, so people have been emailing me, and apparently everybody on Earth got to go to it except for me. I didn't get to go, and then, of course, Sarah didn't get to go because she was working, and Tim passed on it because Tim doesn't like movies that... Tim doesn't like movies...
Limbs being cut off and replaced with machine guns.
Tim doesn't like movies that feature dismemberment.
I think I'll pass on that.
Did you finish The Iron Giant yet?
I haven't.
Oh, you know,
it's going to be the weekend before I get to see it.
All right, fine.
Okay. My whole week is pretty much booked up.
No.
You're very busy and important man.
I understand. I'm just saying.
I mean, but I had to get up early this morning to take my dog to get his teeth cleaned.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go pick him up later.
I'm not going to take it personally. All right.
So if the phone rings, there are complications of dog teeth cleaning.
And now, I don't want to get into a whole discussion about dogs.
Yeah.
But is that a thing you really have to do?
Well, if your dog has bad breath...
My dog does.
It just goes with being
a good teeth cleaning.
Is it pretty expensive?
Yes.
I thought it just went with not having thumbs and being able to work a toothbrush. Like, no.
I have
it was
a toothbrush
for
Muppet.
Really?
Toothpaste.
Do you hold your dog down and brush his teeth?
Yeah, he has, I have this peanut butter flavored toothpaste.
Oh, that sounds good. Can people use it too?
I don't think
so. It's a terrible conversation.
Because it came with a finger brush and also like a really long brush to get in the back, and then like the finger brush to get the front of his teeth.
I realize now that I chose poorly by discussing our dental habits.
Muppet has the worst breath ever.
How about your dog? Everyone call in and discuss the scent that's on your dog's mouth. I did not see Grindhouse last night. But my phone was, as the kids say, my phone was blowing up with people who were there who were texting me. But it's the greatest movie, the Mailman Chris. I swear to God, my phone was actually leaking some kind of fluid out of it. He was gushing over that movie so intensely. It was 10, 10:30, whenever it was he got out of there. And he sent me this long text message about it, saying it was like the best movie he'd ever seen. So we can add to the list of things that I am out of touch on right now, the Grindhouse. I did not see Grindhouse largely because I was doing a thing with Joni DeRoshi, and then I was at home watching The Shield, which was goddamn fantastic. The Shield was... Man, I got to tell, and we're going to talk to Peter Carlin about this later on, and I know that I'm the only person in the room right now who watches The Shield, but people within the sound of my voice who watch that show, you know what I'm talking about. The Shield was fan-freaking-tastic last night, and I lived in fear that this season 6 wasn't going to live up to season 5, because seasons, as I mentioned this yesterday, seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, every season has been better than the one preceding it, and that never happens in television. There's usually like a sort of peaking that happens around season 3, halfway through, or season 4, it starts to sort of implode, and that's not the case. Season 3 was great, season 4 with Glenn Close was fantastic, season 5 of The Shield, when they brought on Forrest Whitaker, it transcended itself and just became, it may in fact be the greatest police drama in the history of television, which I know is a bold statement in a world where we had Homicide, Life in the Street, and Dragnet, but The Shield is just so far and away outstrips almost everything else on television. And then last night's season 6 opener was just brutal. I mean, the thing about that show is, about The Shield, is it just reaches inside you to where that final pocket of hope and goodness lives, and then it just stomps on it. It just rips it out and just throws it down on the ground and just smashes it into a tiny little sad ball of pain. And then it sticks it back in you, and then it sends you home. And that's it. So it's great, man. I put it up against The Sopranos. The Shield is probably the best non-HBO show on the air. Although I do say that as a guy who's never seen, like, I've never seen 24, and I remember everybody just go get the people go gaga over 24. Like, the list of things that people go nuts over on the air right now on TV that I haven't watched is lengthy. But I'm saying, with my vast experience as a TV viewer in this country, I put The Shield up against almost anything.
Okay, come on, but how excited are you about The Sopranos this weekend?
The Sopranos, now, it's not this weekend, is it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Is The Sopranos, see how out of touch I am?
Wait, let me see. I'm going to a Sopranos party.
It must be, because it might be this weekend, actually, because
Sunday,
they...
April 8th, yep.
Really?
Beginning at 9 o'clock.
All right. Well, that makes sense, actually, because they've been replaying season 5 all week.
Man, I'm so excited. We're having a big Italian dinner and then watching it.
If you want to do that, you're going to have Clyde come cook for you, because he makes this... Because Clyde's... It's like he cooks for the military. He's incapable of making anything that's not 35 pounds of food. That makes sense, actually. They've been replaying season 5 of The Sopranos, and just the other day, they played the one where Vito gets beaten to death in that hotel room.
That's just brutal.
Dark and just... Anyway, we'll get a couple of these calls. We'll break Lisa Goddard coming up later on. We'll get it done in this hour. We're going to make Scotty clean out his nose with his sinus douche. Just because we didn't get it done yesterday, and I don't want this stuff just lingering around. I'm kind of uneasy about the chemicals they put in this thing. So we'll do it this hour. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Watched The Shield last night. What a show.
How great is that? And how?
Oh, my God. It just tears your heart out watching this poor guy. You know, he's screwed up. I mean, he's a bad guy, but he's just... what do you think's going to happen to him? Is he going to die at the end of the show?
Now, let me just say, I don't know any spoilers. I don't know anything about The Shield. I don't know anything about what happens in this season. And, in fact, our good friend Aaron Geek in the City was at he was in L.A. this past weekend for something or other. And he actually was talking to a guy who's a producer on The Shield. He found out spoilers, which I don't want to know. And I told him, I'm like, I got to say, the series has to end. It has to end with either Vic... Probably not dead, but it's gotta end with Vic either in prison or just like busted down and out and like working as a security guard somewhere. I mean, it has to end that way.
See, it has to end badly for Vic. I think that he's gonna kill his partner, the one who killed Lem.
Shane Vendrell.
Yeah, and then he's going to kill himself or something. Because it's just going to get so far out of his control that he's just not going to be able to handle it.
It's possible. I mean, that's the thing about The Shield is that that show is not afraid to have down, dark endings, as everybody as we're watching it knows. And it is the great thing about The Shield is you go back and you watch from the beginning. If you watch season one, you know, all the way through, you can see that they were building this whole overreaching story arc from the very beginning. It's like one big story where the killing of that Terry cop in the very first episode when Vic killed a cop.
Exactly. They're referencing things from the first two episodes that are coming to haunt him today.
And the thing is, just when you think those guys can't get painted further and further and further into that corner, they do. And, you know, now that and especially last night, and I know I'm speaking now just to people who watch The Shield, but it really is just such a great show that if you watched last night, they reveal now that what's his name, that Lem, Curtis Lemansky, was not going to rat them out, and so Shane killed him for nothing.
Yeah, And
just the look on Shane's face when he found out that he killed him for nothing.
Well, when he's sitting in the car with the gun in his lap, ready to blow his brains out, and then the lady with the cop with the kid comes up and just pulls him back from his sanity at the last second.
With every sentence about this, Tim just cringes more and more. This really is just your living nightmare of a television show. It's just nothing but maimings and burnings and killing and just blood splattered walls.
Well, when they're walking through the house and there's what, 15 mutilated bodies in the house.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
It's gonna be interesting to see what that's all about.
It's like that episode from either last season or the season before, where there's the husband and wife who've kidnapped the woman and then cut off one of her arms and left her tied up in the shower.
Happens on The Shield.
I remember watching that, and I'm just like,
"Oh my God,
Christ Almighty, what am I watching?"
But it all fits in so well, though, to the show. I mean,
I hate to say it, but it's not gratuitous. I mean, I hate to say that.
You get so brutalized watching the show that it's just another day at the park. It's kind of like
that's the thing. Is like you watch the show and you watch The Shield and you can just feel your own humanity just being sucked away. You just feel your soul turning black as you watch that show.
Excellent. But I understand there's only 9 episodes this year.
I think that's because they actually split season 5 into 2 seasons.
And that this is the end. We only have 9 more shows to go.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
See you later.
All right, there you go. And real quickly about Grindhouse, our good friend Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
You know, Tim, stay as far away from the theater as possible. Because that is the most over-the-top, insane, blood-soaked movie I have ever seen.
This is Grindhouse, you're saying?
Yes. Grindhouse was fantastic. Boba Fett and I were there. We ran into Aaron. You know, it was a fantastic movie. I don't think it has quite the cultural significance of Pulp Fiction.
Well, that's because Pulp Fiction was such a change in movies. You know, we're living in a Tarantino film can't ever have that effect now because we're living in his world, you know.
Exactly. And to be honest, I actually enjoyed the Rodriguez film more than the Tarantino film.
Planet Terror.
Terror was just so over the top. It was just extremely enjoyable. Tarantino's film was a little slower to get started, but once it did, it was really nail biting.
Fantastic.
So and the trailers, the faux trailers.
Yeah, because the deal is with Grindhouse is it's two sort of mini films that are about 75 minutes long each.
85 minutes each plus the trailer.
And then in the middle, there's a faux intermission with trailers for currently non-existent films.
Not just the middle; they actually start with the trailers as well.
Fantastic.
So and those trailers are great.
All right. So.
And by the way, you said Sopranos. Don't forget, right after Sopranos, season opener for season 4 of Entourage.
Really?
Best night ever.
Is that this Sunday? I didn't know.
That is this
Rick,
Sunday.
What is wrong
what
with
is
you?
My problem? Where do I live? What? I don't understand where my head is lately. I didn't even know that Entourage was... I haven't been watching a lot of television recently, I guess. And I guess the audience has stunted my growth. This audience... You know what the audience is? The audience is sort of like giving me a fish every day. Sort of like training wheels for my mind. Like, I don't need to know anything because someone will call and tell me. All right, excellent.
And if you're a fan... I don't know if you ever watched it, but if you're a fan of the show Big Love...
Yeah, my wife is. I don't watch it, but she watches it.
I thought it was a very good show. It's actually currently in production and will air after The Sopranos end. So,
excellent.
Like, in June.
Cool.
When Sopranos is over, Big Love will start.
Sort of like how...
the reason for me to pay $13 a month to keep it.
Totally. They keep you year-round on it. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Take it easy, guys.
There you go, Grindhouse.
All right, we got a break.
I'm so bummed that I missed that. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard. Later on, Tim Riley with the noon news hour and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I wonder how long we've been back.
Oh, crap.
Hi, it's 503-733-2970. Apparently, North Plains has called and said thanks for the Dennis Miller Show. Now they know what Rick Emerson will be when he finally grows up. Thanks for that. 503-733-2970. All right. Well, I don't have time to read these S.H.I.E.L.D. emails. I'll get to these later on. I haven't even mentioned, and then we'll talk to Lisa Goddard in like 5 seconds. Coming to the S.H.I.E.L.D., I haven't even mentioned, I talked about the woman that had been tied up in the shower. I haven't even mentioned the king of all disturbing S.H.I.E.L.D. scenes, which I don't even need to describe, because everybody who watches that show knows the one I'm talking about.
I didn't know that show was so demented.
Well, it's not that it's, I mean, it's just, it's a very, I'm not going to say it's absolutely realistic because it's television, but I mean, it takes place in the worst part of Los Angeles. And it takes place in a police station that deals with homicide and gang killings in like the very worst part of Los Angeles, and they just don't pull any punches. I mean, I think you're used to seeing like cop shows that are just, even now, where everything is smoothed out and everything is very sort of polished and cleaned up, and they have miraculous technology that solves crimes, and things are sort of very presentable and things are wrapped up real tightly, and The S.H.I.E.L.D. just gives you no satisfying conclusion to anything. Everything is just dark and terrible. Like, you saw the movie Seven, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, imagine...
I've seen it, like, twice, and I have no desire to ever see it again.
I mean, The S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't about serial killers, but imagine that kind of tone as a television series. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, I can't handle that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love it, because I just love things that are just, I love things that are just really bleak like that. I'm a big fan of bleakness. Right back down. Thank you. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent with a head full of tasty pudding, it's Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Wow, I'm disturbed by that, and I'm also disturbed because I know the exact scene you're talking about from The S.H.I.E.L.D.
You exact scene, that's the thing. And that is the greatness and horror of that show, is I don't even need to give detail one, and everybody who is a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan knows exactly the scene I'm referencing, and everybody remembers the moment when that scene first aired. And I remember sitting on my couch and watching that episode, and just the unfolding, terrifying realization of what was about to happen.
Yeah, and then, they were going to show.
Yeah, and that you have this conversation ahead of like, well, this is going to end badly, and oh my God, no, I can't. Okay, they couldn't possibly show what I think that they're going to, and then they show it to whatever extent they did, and you just on the couch, and you can actually feel your soul being scored out as you watch it. You can actually feel pieces of your soul just being cut off and crushed up and thrown away.
And the great thing is, we technically could be talking about two different scenes, but I have a feeling thinking of the same one.
No, we're thinking of the same one. We're thinking of the same one that all America thinks of when I describe it that way. So, yes. Well, I'm glad to hear you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. You watched the premiere last night.
Yes, we did watch it last night. Absolutely.
It was fantastic. I mean, and again, I'm not, you know, the people, I'm not giving any spoilers because it aired last night. So, and I don't know anything about this this upcoming season. I have eschewed spoilers that have been offered to me by other people. But the great thing about The S.H.I.E.L.D. is just when you think it can't get darker, you think, and it never becomes a parody of itself. That's the great thing. It never becomes.
I'm worried about that a little bit.
It avoids that trap. With some of those shows, it becomes sort of a self-satire where it's like, okay, well, what else could possibly happen to this family? That's what happened with Six Feet Under, in my opinion, is it's like, it just became such a soap opera where it's like, well, David gets kidnapped and, you know, and every, just all of these insane, implausible, melodramatic things happen, but The S.H.I.E.L.D. men, you buy it hook, line, and sinker. You never doubt it. And just when you think that these guys cannot get painted into a darker corner, suddenly Shane Vendrell finds out that he kills Lem for no reason.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I mean, the look on his face when that shoe dropped, and you just, I mean, I love that show. I really do. But goddamn, is it just depressing and dark sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I do like that show, but you know, since we're going to get into it, in that genre, I've got to say I'm a big Wire fan. I really like The Wire.
That is also one of the greatest programs.
Yeah, I feel like that is, and this season, I cannot wait for them to take on the media. I can't wait for them to just take us and squeeze us and make us look pretty bad.
The Wire is fantastic. Have you seen 300 yet?
No, I haven't seen that.
The great thing about it is The Wire, the guy who plays McNulty on The Wire is in 300.
I heard that.
Yeah, which is weird. You don't expect that guy to be suddenly there he's there, you know, speaking with the Spartans, and you expect either the Irish brogue, which is that actor's real voice, or this, like, Baltimore, you know, accent to come out, and neither does. So, anyway, well, The Wire is great as well. Were you a fan of Homicide: Life on the Street?
My boyfriend is, but I've only seen a couple episodes. I never caught on to it, but it looked good. It looked good. I just kind of came in late.
Yeah, Homicide, you have to start early. You can't watch the later seasons because they were sort of crap. But it was, you know, by David Simon, who then went on to create The Wire.
Yeah, I one of the main actors was in Glory. Was sort of the bookish guy from Glory, and I kept thinking of him, and I couldn't relate to him any other way.
Andre Brower is who you're thinking of.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, who is great. And my final observation on this is going to be that if you go to my MySpace page, when I encourage you not to do that because it makes me look like a nerd, on my MySpace page it asks you to list your heroes, and I have to admit, if you look at my heroes, most of them are fictitious people. There's like Randall Patrick McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then some real people like Abby Hoffman, but Stringer Bell from the first couple seasons of The Wire is really on there on my heroes list because, man, that guy, in terms of ambition and personality and force and intellect, if you take away the fact that he was, a mastermind of an organized crime organization, you know, that guy was pretty great. So, all right. Well, now we've chewed up like 5 hours talking about primetime television. Let me ask you this. I know that Nancy Pelosi, is it right now that she's in Syria?
I believe she is. She was getting ready to go to Saudi Arabia. I don't have that she has left Syria yet, but she may have. She's about to transition at some point.
I know she's over there trying to get them to knock off some of the violence in Lebanon and Iraq and so forth. And the White House is really overtly opposed to that. And is it because they're opposed to her doing it, or they're opposed to anybody going and talking to Syria, period?
They're definitely opposed to anyone representing the United States talking to Syria, but there's no doubt that there has been increased rhetoric and increased, I think, opposition to Nancy Pelosi in particular going, I think, because she is the third highest ranking person, and, well, you could say that she has the same equal power with the president, technically, but she is second in line to the president after the vice president, so she's a very high ranking official, and so there's one there, and then, of course, the fact that she's a Democrat is another problem. What's interesting is they're making all this noise about Nancy Pelosi going there, but just last week a whole contingent of Republicans went, and we really didn't hear much from the White House about that. So she's not the only member of Congress to have visited Syria in the last year, and not even in the last week. Others, including Republicans, have gone on similar ventures, but just because she is so high-ranking, and because she's the lead Democrat, she's getting much more attention.
It's got to make the Bush administration a little uneasy that you got a vice president with a bad heart and you got a line of succession that leads right to Nancy Pelosi.
Right. They would have to think about that. But you'd have to have a double hit in order for her to succeed. I mean, the president would pick a new vice president.
That's true. See, this is why you're there, and I'm here, you know, making Powerpuff Girls references most of the day. So
right. the chances of the double hit, I don't even know if those guys are ever in the same room anymore.
So I don't even know where Dick Cheney. I don't even really know that he exists anymore. I think there might just be some Cheney bot 5000 that is just.
Maybe. No, he does exist. He actually gave some remarks 2 days ago. He gave a speech, so we know he's out there.
So George Bush was giving. He had that news conference where he repeated this threat that he's going to take out his. Does he have a special veto pen?
I don't know. I hope it's a big giant stamp.
Because he has a pen that he uses. There is a special set of pens he uses to sign bills into law. Is there
right,
not?
But they give those away generally.
So they're
commemorative, and they give them away to people who were involved with bringing the bill.
I always wonder if he's got a special, or just, yeah, just a huge stamp that just says, like, no, you know, just up yours in huge letters.
Big giant X.
But he was, but he repeated this huge, like a smiley or sad face emoticon. He repeated this threat that he was going to veto any of these war funding bills if it had any kind of a deadline. And I know that now there's some, there's some of the moderates now. The Democrats are not necessarily doing the greatest job of shoring up support for any of these bills. And so,
yeah.
I mean, at some point, are we going to end up in the not-too-distant future with somebody in the full glare of the national spotlight just having to back down and change their mind?
Absolutely. But they'll try and find a way to make it look like both of them are winning. They'll probably find some sort of middle ground. Maybe they won't. It's possible that there'll be one clear winner. But generally in these situations, and we've had a couple of them in the last couple of years, nothing that deals with $120 billion in war funding, but in other standoffs, usually there's been a little give and take on both sides. Although Congress has generally done better than the president in the last year and a half, even before the Democrats took over. But yes, so either one side or both sides has got to change their positions, or the troops will not be funded. They'll run out of funding either in late April or July, probably more like July.
Because that's going to be, for me, that's really going to be one of the tipping points when somebody, and it's not about either the White House, the Bush administration or Congress having to change their mind as such. It's when they back down and the other side then maximizes the publicity of that fact.
Right, and beats you over the head, right.
That's exactly what it's going to be, is it when the Bush administration either they reach some sort of concession, or the Congress finally just blinks and they give in and they admit that it's not going to happen, and the other side is going to take their failure and the concession and the compromise, and they're just going to hang it around their neck like a millstone and just sink them with it.
That's why these situations become so intractable in Washington, because even if one side starts to think, okay, we can give in on this, or we can compromise in this area, they know that if they are the only ones doing the compromising, that the other political party will just cream them in the press. Now it's anyone's take on who that hurts. So sometimes that makes the winner look like a bad winner, and that hurts them more. But regardless, that's not a typical Washington thing. Typical Washington thing is get as much press as you can, make the other guy look as bad as you can.
Hey, by the way, just before we kind of sign off here, we should tell you that, of course, you heard about all the horrific unpleasantness that happened at the CNN Center, obviously.
Yes, so. I heard Laura did a live now that Laura's back. I heard Laura did a live shot with you guys.
She came on and described how apparently Ted Turner, before he got out of there, he decided to just staff that place with his own personal Mossad. So anybody gets out of line, it's, somebody starts complaining about the coffee creamer a little too loudly, and a guy comes in and puts you down, apparently.
Right.
So, I mean...
I'm in D.C. I don't have to deal with that. It didn't rough me up as much.
I was going to say, so you're in D.C.
Capitol Hill Police. That's a whole different thing.
So the next time there's any sort of discussion in D.C. about whether or not anybody ought to be allowed to own a handgun, you can point out the fact that they didn't take down this guy in Atlanta with harsh language.
Right, that's a good point. I'll forward that comment to Jim Webb's office.
Thank you. Please, thank you to that. All right, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. We'll talk to you soon, Lisa.
Okay.
All right, fantastic. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. And a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. Bam. And The Wire.
And Engaged.
Why don't you shut up, huh? Why can't you just let me have one moment of happiness? Why must you hate constantly? God damn. All right, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970.
I think she was prodding a little to see if you would say anything about Laura.
About Laura Caviezel?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say anything bad about her.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say anything bad about Laura Caviezel to Lisa Goddard.
Because you're smart.
That would make her. See, there's a difference. People don't recognize maybe sometimes that we treat that there are subtle differences between the CNN radio correspondents. What one could say openly and freely, perhaps to Jim Roop. Let me just put it this way: you can't make that guy uncomfortable. Jim Roop he just doesn't care. That guy just does not give a flying rip about anything, and you can just speak absolutely openly and honestly with him. I probably could with Lisa as well, but I think it might make her a little. She's a little more diplomatic than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Roop just does not care about being diplomatic or proper or any kind of etiquette or social. Is it mores or mores? The thing that you follow, like a rule.
Is that like a social more?
Is it a more or a more?
That's a more is an Italian song.
Fantastic. That's... I walked right into that. I didn't even know it was there, and I walked into it. Well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970. I have no time to get to this thing about, to get to this quote thing. There's this thing about the top 25 quotes of the last, what is it? How, the last what? The most famous 25 quotes of the last 25 years, which I'm going to read for the sole purpose. I'm going to bring Scotty in and see if he can identify, who said any of these quotes. Well, in fact, let's just before we do anything else, Scotty J, if you would please, we could get you to
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, how are you?
Super.
How can we,
Hi, Scotty.
How can we describe your mood today? Are you in a fine mood?
Fantastical.
Was there, you
he were, seems better than yesterday.
Are you ready to acknowledge that you were in a bad mood yesterday?
I was actually in a pretty good mood.
You were not in a good mood. You were in a terrible mood yesterday, and you were being snippy. You were being snippy, and you were being obnoxious and uncooperative. It's just a fact. You just have to. You have to admit that that's the case.
Okay.
All right. So today, without fail, just so you know, we're gonna get you this. We're gonna do this sinus relief thing with you.
Excellent,
Scotty. Top five memorable quotes of the last 25 years. These are from USA Today. These are the top 25 most memorable quotes. I will not give you all of them.
I can't know anything.
Should we give him some time to think about it?
No.
Or, no, because he'll look it up.
No, because he'll look it up. That's the thing.
Can I read that?
No, because if I give it to you, then you just got it. All right, so I will not give you all 25 of these. We're just going to give you a little pop culture literacy test.
Terrible.
Scott MJ, who said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall?
Reagan.
Very good. What is Mr. Gorbachev's first name?
Mikhail.
That's Scotty.
Oh, my gosh.
Congratulations.
Well, right. I must have stayed up during that class.
Ronald Reagan. Well, it's about Ronald Reagan. All right. Excellent. Well done.
Of course, I know Ronald Reagan. I know that guy. He's great.
All right.
You know him.
I know him personally.
Who said this? I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
See, I want to say Ted Kennedy.
No, because then he'd say a brother
know,
of mine.
Yeah, you're right. Let me take one more stab at it.
That streak is over.
Let me take one more stab. Uh-huh. I know Jack Kennedy, and you're no Jack Kennedy.
Kerry. Okay, when would he have said that, and to whom?
During his political run for to try to be the president.
Okay, things are back to normal. For a minute, I thought that you'd been replaced with some sort of Scotty, some sort of Flowers for Algernon, Scotty J.
No, I'm like Raymond.
All right. So do you have a? You have no idea.
No.
All right. That was, of course, Democratic vice presidential candidate Lloyd Benson.
Yeah, no way would I get that.
Who was? Did he die?
Just recently.
Hey, who was Lloyd Benson? When did Lloyd Benson run for vice president, Scotty?
I don't know, so I'm going to take a guess. So some things are insignificant, so I just, you know, put up the blinders in life and things go right over the top of my head. But I'm going to guess he ran sometime in the 90s.
What year would you guess that Lloyd Benson ran for vice president?
Let's see. Now I have to think back.
There's only so many years.
I know, 4 years prior.
Now, do you vote?
Yeah.
Okay, so
95-ish, I'm guessing.
You realize that there was no...
I know.
See, no, that's the problem. I got a backup.
Was there an election in 2000, right? I thought so. Or 2000...
No, see,
right?
Feeding him the answers.
No.
Why do people feel compelled to feed him the answers?
I'm trying to help a little bit because I feel like I'm not helping humanity.
This is... this is fascinating. Okay, Scotty.
It's like a man with his hand out sitting on the sidewalk. You're a Rockefeller. You give him a quarter.
Buddy, can you spare an answer?
No, I'm like a chimpanzee in a machine where you put a quarter in there, and sometimes I get the answer right, and sometimes I don't.
All right, so this is what
why
year...
Why would a chimpanzee be in a machine?
I don't know.
Why is it answering questions?
I don't know.
Where do you go to see this?
The boardwalk.
What goes on in your head? All right, so this is 2007. The last election was in 2004. So, can you name the four people who were running in the last election for president, vice president, and vice president?
Well, Cheney and Bush.
And?
Carrie and Edwards.
His first name is?
John.
Okay. Now, the election before that was 2000.
Right.
Who was running?
George Bush. Cheney. Dick. Mm-hmm. Boy, Edwards was a vice president again back then. No. No. Or he was running for it. No.
Is this Jay vote?
No, see, this is the problem. Is what? If I sat down for 10, 15 minutes like a normal human being and wasn't thrashed or had these questions thrown at him, uh-huh. I could sit down for 10, 15 minutes and think, recollect back 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, Gramps.
And try to find those brain cells. Hopefully that haven't been washed away with too many adult beverages.
Well, let's skip to the bottom of the page. There was no election for anything in 1995.
Excellent.
There was no presidential election of any kind.
I was there.
Yes, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. That was said by vice presidential candidate Lloyd Benson in 1988.
See, I remember that quote.
No, you don't.
Who said it?
Okay. And I think that's it. I think we're just going to end this.
Because there's got to be one more I can get right and have
give him an easy one.
A percentage.
But these are the top 25 quotes of the last 25 years, according to USA Today. Let's see. All right, who said, people, I just want to say, can we all get along?
God.
Oh, come on, you've seen this on television 10,000 times. People, I just want to say, can we all get along? Tim is doing it again. Tim is having to fight off the urge just to put 10 cents in that cup that Scotty's holding out.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I've heard it a million times.
You were like 25 when this happened.
Can't we all just get along?
Sarah?
Do you know Sarah?
What?
Do you know who it is?
What time? No, I'm asking you what time it is. Do we have to break?
11:59.
I don't know. Okay. I honestly don't.
We're going to take a break. I'm not even going to tell you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this with Tim Riley at the Noon News Hour at the Ministry of Truth. Jesus God Almighty.